Take your Bible tonight and go to Ezra chapter 9. Ezra chapter 9. I see the logic of this cup that you have, preacher, this wide bottom thing. My wife would try to give me a bottle of water to come up here. And I said, this pulpit moves. If I put a bottle here, I will drown everything back there. It'll fall. It will. So, and then I saw, and I get it. I see that. And I wonder how you learned that. Well, I knocked over a bottle of water or two. Ezra chapter 9, verse number 8. And the Bible says this. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Now, I've used that verse through the years in several messages, kind of to spring into a revival message. It says to give us a little reviving. And then one day I got looking at that verse, and there's an outline right there. And I spent, the whole message was just step by step to the things that we just read. But tonight I want to use it to draw attention to the phrase, to leave us a remnant to escape. A remnant is that which is left after separation, removal, or destruction. Amen. I'm glad that there's a principle that no matter how bad things got in regards to God, people going full tilt apostate, which they did more than once, which always led to captivity. Amen. And there was always a faithful remnant who refused to go with the flow. I'm glad that was so. I want to be part of it. I say that because when I read the testimony of the Laodicean church, it's not a good testimony. But that's the age we're in. I don't want to be guilty of thinking that I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing and have the Lord say, but no, it's not that I'm wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I don't want to be in that crowd. Amen? You know, he says to that church, he says they're lukewarm. Lukewarm. To me, that I can identify lukewarm for you by degree. You know, what hot would be, you know, boiling point, 212. Freezing point of water is 32 degrees. But I'd give you the exact temperature to the tenth of lukewarm. And it's 98.6. Now you think about that for a minute. And that's the temperature of the Laodicean church. It's body temperature. It's all about flesh. I don't want to be guilty of that. I lived in that world for too long. I don't want to be part of that crowd. And I'm glad there's a remnant principle. I'm glad everybody isn't doomed to the mentality that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 3. All right, how about you? All right, but I want you to be aware of something, Bible believer. According to 2 Peter chapter 3 and 17, Peter wrote to him, he said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before. And I'll tell you what, he hit some stuff in 2 Peter chapter 3 that a lot of Bible believers that have be hard-pressed to explain right now. Amen. And he goes on and he says, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. We're capable of it. And I preach to empty pews all the time, every week, somewhere. Somebody that was saved and knew it and believed the book and they knew it. And for one reason or another, sometimes it's part of listed to the internet a little too much. There's plenty of heresy out there. Boy, that has enabled the devil to pipe it right into our homes and our ears and our cars and our phones. Amen. At an unprecedented level. I know some folks that no doubt have done something for God, but they're going to give an account of falling from their own steadfastness, although they knew some things. I don't want to be part of that. Again, I want to bring your attention to the word in Ezra 9, remnant. I want to preach tonight on a remnant. I think that we're part of a remnant here tonight. So take your Bible, go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. You got Israel in captivity again. You know, someone once said, and it's proven to be true, and what you learn from history is that men don't learn from history. Amen. Amen. Verse 13. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 13. Did I pray? I'm seeing if you're paying attention. Me, I honestly didn't remember, but I'm old enough to, that's okay. But I don't want to just take anything for granted tonight. So I'm going to ask Daniel Stevens to pray for this message tonight. Would you, my friend? Amen. Thank you, brother. All right, verse 13. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. The Lord says, verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? verse 14, ye have said, remember what we mentioned, I think it was this morning, about asking the Lord a question, because He'll answer for you. It says, ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept His ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, they that tempt God are even delivered. I can imagine a group that are hearing the Lord quote them, looking at each other going, he heard that? Can I remind you tonight that he hears that? Amen. Boy, I wouldn't want to be guilty of that either. It says, it is vain to serve God. Vain means worthless or of no value. I don't need to come to church so much. You know, just same old, same old. That's what people say, but too many in our crowd are getting a hold of that idea. We've had great turnout this week, and I commend you for it. This is the way it was when I got saved. I came to church. We had more people on Sunday morning, but almost the same crowd Sunday night and Wednesday night. And I just thought that's the way it was till I got on the road. And I find out that sometimes congregations triple on Sunday morning and then the other nights, and then a revival that's been on the schedule for a long time and announced, still church members don't even come to their own meeting. And again, I can say that here without feeling like you're going to take it wrong, because that hasn't been the case here. But it's the case in many places. I tell you, it's not a vain thing to come to church. All right, some say it like this. All they want down there is my money. You know, I look at it like this. You'd be getting off easy if that was true. You could buy your way in and buy your way out of trouble, like some do. Amen. Or think they do. But 2 Corinthians 12, verse 14 says this. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. Again, we'd be getting off easy if that's all God wanted. He wants much more than that. He wants your heart. Amen. That's what God wants. Amen. What's in it for me? It says in Matthew 19, verse 27, "Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" I mean, isn't eternal life enough? You know, I preached a message in jails that I titled, "What's in it for me?" And that's the way some Christians think. Well, I'm doing this, 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 and I don't do this, this, this. You know, jail, that was well received in behind bars, because convicts understand that most people think like that. I can't imagine why so many Christians think like that. But they asked the Lord, and he told them, he quoted them, he told them what they said. I want to give you, that's enough negative for one night, isn't it? No? Okay, well, let's start over, because this is the last night. So, verse 16, we're talking about the remnant tonight. I want to give you some attributes of the remnant so you can lock in and be part of it. So, verse 16, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, there are three definitive attributes of the remnant. It doesn't matter what the age is. We're going to get them out of this passage in Malachi chapter 3, but they're applicable to this day and age, this Laodicean age. So let's read it. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and they thought upon his name." And so I want to talk about the three things in there. Number one is fear. It said that then they that feared the Lord. There's a significant attribute of any remnant. Fear in the Lord. It says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and knowledge." Amen? Fear. Now, the word, modern word for fear, I'm not going to the Greek because I don't know if it is Greek. The modern word that you hear these days a lot is phobia. Sounds impressive, doesn't it? You hear it all the time. You didn't realize that? You're going to know what I mean in a second. Now, the word phobia means extreme or irrational fear. Okay? So, isn't it easier just to say phobia than fear? No. Okay, that's what... Okay. Let me give you some examples. You've heard of homophobia. Homophobia. You know, I know right where your mind went. Okay. So here's what that is. If you believe marriage is between one man and one woman, well, they'll say you have homophobia. Amen. Yeah. I don't want to be cured of it either. Okay. And then there's Islamophobia. You hear that? Okay, so if you have a problem with Muslim terrorists killing Americans, you've got Islamophobia. Yeah, I got that too. And then there's, I never heard of this, I had to look it up, xenophobia. You know what it is? Then why are you laughing at me? Okay, xenophobia is fear of strangers or foreigners. Amen. So, If you're against open borders, you've got xenophobia. I've been talking to them about the pardon. Perhaps they'll give me an opportunity to go into some other countries that I've mentioned a couple times, that every country has the right to deny access to anybody they want, except one. Man. Amen. And there's some other phobias here. Maybe you hadn't heard of them. You're just gonna be enlightened before this list is done. How about ergophobia? That's fear of work. Yeah. Yeah. I heard this years ago. How do you starve a lazy man? You hide his food stamps under his work boots. Fear of work. Here we go. Ablutophobia. I promise this. Well, I mean, I got it from the internet, but I'm hoping it's right, true. Ablutophobia means that's the fear of washing or bathing. I met some of them. And then there's teratophobia. You know what that is? That is the fear of giving birth to monsters. I know some women that have done that. Oh, yeah. And then there's hamartophobia. It's a fear of sin or sinning. I'm praying for an epidemic of that to break out pretty soon. There's ecclesiophobia. It's a fear of church. I'm praying for a vaccine for that. There's hatephobia. Yeah, we're talking about fear. There's hatephobia. That's a fear of going to hell. I got that while I was in jail. I didn't have it the first 37 years of my life. Then I got it, and then the great physician cured it. So I have no fear of going to hell anymore. The Lord took care of that. Amen. Are you saved tonight? Well, you don't need to have a hatephobia. Amen. And one more, euphobia. That's a fear of hearing good news. That's tragic right there. Because the best news I ever heard was that Jesus Christ died for my sins so that I wouldn't have to go to hell. Here, can I give you something to read? No, I'm afraid. Wow, that'd be tragic. Should be known, people fear all kinds of things. Some people are afraid of snakes. Let me give you a tip. If you're afraid of snakes, don't tell anybody. They're going to stick a snake in your face. Some people are afraid of spiders. Some are afraid of heights. People say, you know, I could never jump out of airplanes. I'm afraid of heights. At 2,000 feet, everybody's afraid of heights. Yeah, you don't overcome the fear. You just do it anyway. Some people are afraid of close places. Amen. Anybody have an MRI? Well, that's about as close to being in a coffin as you can imagine. I had an MRI one time. Amen. Now, some of those fears, they come kind of natural. And some of them are kind of strange. But there's a fear that's neither. You have to learn it. And it says in Psalm 34 and verse 11, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." You want me to give you the fear of the Lord in a nutshell? Fear of the Lord is remembering who He is and who you are. That's keeping it in perspective. It's realizing that you are not the center of the universe after all. Amen. Apostasy isn't unbelief. That's atheism. Apostasy is a result of the fear of the Lord diminishing in your life. That's what causes apostasy. All right? So number one, the attribute of the remnant is the fear of the Lord. Here's something that'll help you. Take your Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I realize that perhaps I breezed through that Sunday school lesson so fast, I didn't know when to stop. And you know what happens when a Baptist preacher has that problem? He goes on and on and on. And so I just didn't have you look up all those verses. I should have. And then we'd have been right on schedule. So we're going to look some up tonight because I'm not going home tonight. I live here, and you're not going home early, so that's trying to help you tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2. And the Bible says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. All right, that's what we're talking about. But then it tells you how. To keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. That's a big responsibility. To fear the Lord, you're going to have to keep the statutes and commandments and pass them down and be a good example to your children and your children's children. Amen? Psalm 111 and verse 10. Again, go there. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." I know it's the smartest thing I ever did. "A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." His praise endureth forever. Both those verses, fear of the Lord, is directly related to what he said. And I'm here to tell you tonight that how seriously you take his word is a good indicator as to how much you fear him. All right? It said there about our remnant than they that feared the Lord. And then verse 16 went on and said, spake often one to another. So number one is fear, but number two is fellowship. This remnant was a tight-knit group. They were the outsiders. Remember, they were different. Amen? They didn't fit in anymore with the inhabitants of the places they lived. It said in Acts chapter 11, and the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. Amen. The best thing I've ever been called in my life is a Christian. To me, it's a compliment. But it wasn't a compliment when it was given to them. It was a designation given to those early Christians in Antioch because they were different. And they weren't different because they were from another place or another culture or another language. They were different because something had happened to them. And again, it says in 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm far from the only one here that's experienced the fact that when you became a child of God, when you were converted, you didn't fit in so well. It may be in some of the circles that you ran in before, even to the degree that your family didn't even accept you. And they, what did they do? They had to stick together. It says they spake often. They spake often one to another. An opportunity for them to gather wasn't just an obligatory assembling. It was a chance to be with like-minded people. It was an occasion for relief from the realities of life. And it was a time of encouragement and accountability. And that's what we got going on here. I mean, I get it, man. We're in it. And we're not supposed to be of it. And we're left here with a responsibility to be the light of the world now that the Lord's gone. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And that's a vile place sometimes. And some of you work in places where the atmosphere is vile and the language is vile and it's crude. And Lord knew that was going to be that way. But if you're ever going to make a difference anywhere, you can't isolate yourself. But boy, I'll tell you what, isn't it nice to be able to come to a place on occasion where nobody's taking the Lord's name in vain. And nobody's hitting on your wife or your daughter. And if they do, hit them back. I'll pray over you. What I'm saying is, isn't it nice to be in a place where it's not the devil's music that's reverberating off the walls? Amen. I'm going to tell you what, this is an attribute that the remnant in the Laodicean age needs to embrace, is the importance of us being a tight-knit group. The Bible said they spake often one to another. So they didn't have a realm, a world, a friends, and a life. And then they come, punch the clock in the foyer, do their duty, and come to church. Church became their life. It did for me when I got saved. And maybe I was blessed in that the crew that I ran with, they were afraid I might be a threat. I mentioned that the other night. They put a contract out on me. Amen. Say, what did you do? I went to church. I moved across town, not across country. I went into the Jehovah Witness Protection Program. I didn't rely on the federal government to take care of me. I just trusted God to take care of me. And then I just reasoned. I wasn't very spiritual, and I'm not a spiritual giant now, but I thought to myself, well, if they kill me, won't I go to heaven? I mean, isn't that a good thing? Amen? Amen. All right, let's get back to your notes. What are you talking about? Okay. And take your Bible, go to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and I'm just saying, this is an important thing. It's good to be able to come to a place where everybody speaks in the same language. And I'm not talking about English, I'm talking about Bible. All right, Acts chapter 4, and verse 31. Now here's the early church. It says, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I like that verse because my preacher told me early on, he said three things, David, stay on your knees, stay in church, and Stay in the book, stay on your knees, and stay in church if you want to make it. And again, like I said the other night, he didn't mean make it to heaven. That was taken care of when I bowed my heart to Jesus Christ. But if you want to make it and finish your course and those three things. Now, you know, some of you, you know, got a lot of Bible in you. To me, I needed the cookies on the bottom shelf where the kids could reach them. And that was as simple as it could get. Stay in the book, stay on your knees, stay in church. And what he got in that verse is all three of those things mentioned. First they had said they had prayed, then they were assembled together, and they spake the word of God with boldness. That's why I like that verse. They were like me, ground level, just this is the things that they did to succeed, and they did. And by the way, evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost is found in the passage. And I don't see anybody barking like a dog or wiggling around on the floor like a snake. Amen. Or speaking in an unknown tongue. The evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost is speaking the Word of God with boldness. It's not being ashamed of Jesus Christ. And then verse 32 says this, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. That's what we're talking about. And of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. I tell you what, Christians are absolutely the most generous people I've ever been around. Amen. The kindest, the first to help. Amen. In spite of our flesh and our selfish nature. It's almost to a fault sometimes. That's sometimes we get taken advantage of. But it'd be better to err on the side of grace in light of how much grace the Lord's had with us. And it says in verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Amen. This is a minority group, like the remnant in any age, and they were under Roman rule and persecution. Now, don't you think they needed all the grace they could get? I mean, it is, I'm saved by grace through faith. Well, you're going to need more grace than that. And they figured out how to get it. And it had to do with their relationship one to another. Then Malachi 3, it says, they spake often one to another. In this nearly godless world that we live in, don't you think we could use all the grace we can get? So, an important characteristic of any remnant was they spake often one to another. I'm talking about fear and then fellowship. And we're going to go to, well, I'm going to call it focus. Are you impressed? Because they all start with F. That's not as easy for me as some of these guys. Okay, and so it says, we'll read the whole verse. Then they had feared. The Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and they thought upon his name. Again, these folks stayed focused. Now it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. They thought upon his name. Deeds originate in the mind. Sometimes they cook for a while. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes you get an idea or you hear something and you act on it. It's called impetuousness. That'll get you in trouble. We're supposed to pray about stuff. We're supposed to acknowledge him in all our ways that he might direct our path. But whether there's something stews for a while, Or just you get an idea and you go for it. All deeds start in the mind. Here's what that means. You need to think about what you think about. That is more profound than we realize. The thought life. You can get victory over sin. You can get some good deeds under your belt. But if you don't put a handle, if you don't figure out how to control what you think about, buddy, you're walking a dangerous line. These folks thought upon his name. It says in Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I heard a preacher say this. I went to church all the time. I never missed nothing. I'm the guy that didn't like being told what he missed. There was a time in the club where there was a national gathering, and I was an officer, and I would be there, but they needed somebody they could trust to take $100,000 to a lawyer in Miami, and I was the one. And so I missed the gathering, the run. We called it a run. And it was important. It was called business. And I got back up to right at the end. And people were coming to me going, oh, man, this has been great. You missed it. And I didn't like that. I don't like to be told what I missed. I want to be the one telling others what they missed. And don't you know the very church service that you could have been at, you're going to hear later, so-and-so you've been praying for got saved, or something happened. I don't like that. I've never been a spectator sport kind of guy. I want to be in the thick of it. So what are you talking about? I came to church every time I could. And you know what that did? That helped me stay focused. That helped me think upon his name. The preacher said this early on. The main thing. This is. You might want to get your pen out, or you wrote it down last time I said it. Who knows? I don't know. The main thing is to keep the main thing. The main thing. That's my speed. That's my level right there. It's really that simple. And then I go up to Mike Keith Church in Maine, and I got to say it to him there. And I think I say it every year when I go there. Amen. But listen, beloved, Jesus Christ is the main thing. And if we can stay focused on Jesus Christ as much as we're able, and that's why we need provocation from each other, amen, I'll tell you what, our survival rate chances, they go up exponentially. Amen? They thought upon his name. So the remnant, whether under persecution or captivity, knew that their survival depended on staying focused on the Lord. Now I'm here to tell you, we're saved, doctrinally sound, born again, eternally secure. Your spiritual survival still depends on the same thing. Staying focused. It said they thought on his name. That's why we have meetings like this. I don't know how often you have them here, but it's a good opportunity just to put the cares of this life on the back burner and make the exception to our busy, busy, busy schedules and get in church every night for half a week. And it's a blessing. And you need it. If you need to be in church 5 days a week every once in a while, it occurred to me one day that I'm in church 5 days a week every week. I must really be wicked. I must really need church. Good thing I like it. Good thing my wife likes it. Amen. All right, so a significant qualification of the remnant is they thought upon his name. So if you don't want to be counted as part of the crowd that's the apostasy in Revelation chapter 3, that worked for you too. Stay focused on the Lord. Fear the Lord. Fellowship one with another. They spake often. Often. Not in the foyer, I mean, maybe even during a week. They didn't even have phones. How'd they do that? That was the funniest thing in this message the rest of the night. It went right over y'all's heads, so you must be wanting cake or something. All right, so I'm going to read the verse again. I'm almost done. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thought upon his name. Fear the Lord. Fellowship together. Focus on the Lord. That worked then. That works now. Let me give you one more thing from verse 17. I'll call it family, just for the sake of the letter. Verse 17 says, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'm glad I'm his. I'm glad we're family. People ask me all the time. I don't think anybody's asked me that this week, because you've asked before. You want to get that? Okay. And people say, are you related to Charles Spurgeon? And I've heard that so many times, don't you know? And I answer, yes. Of course I am. We're brothers in Christ. Are you saved in here tonight? I'm your brother. Scary, huh? But the deal is, when you get saved, you become part of the family. Amen. It doesn't get any better than being his. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you're not his, there's a remedy for that. The Bible says that God committed his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So the Lord knew our situation, knows your situation. And Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Amen? And you need to be born again, and you can be born again. I was reading these verses before I got up here, and John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He's not talking about the planet, because the next pronoun is whosoever. He's talking about people. For whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's all there is to it, friend. You believe on Jesus Christ, and you're not condemned. But conversely, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This isn't multiple choice. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Praise the Lord, it's simple. Praise the Lord, there's only one choice to make. It's either Jesus Christ or not. And like preacher's been saying, no decision is a no. It's a rejection. Now, I understand it takes a while sometimes for this kind of stuff to soak in, but don't reject him again. If you're in here tonight and you've never been born again, you can be, you need to be, by putting your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what this is all about. Everything else, you know, all the benefits of being a child of God, a heaven, that's the icing on the cake, friend. But this whole thing about Calvary and the crucifixion and the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's because there is no other remedy for sin. There's a bunch of people in here that somewhere got to the place in their life where they comprehended that enough to, by faith, call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And our faith is the Bible. If you do what the Bible says, God will do what he said. Amen? No angels appear. No fireworks. By faith, you trust what God said. And by faith, you become a child of God. If you'll be honest with yourself and call on his name. Amen. If you've never done that tonight, you need to do that tonight. Our prayer is that you do that tonight, as soon as possible, before you die, for sure. And the rest of you now, if you haven't noticed, I mean, we got a little reprieve with President Trump. I mean, the way it was going, we wouldn't be able to, I don't know, I'm not the doom and gloom guy, because there's enough of them. But I'm a realist. And things were getting worse, and they're still getting worse for Christians. And around the world, Christians are being persecuted at a level that we don't even comprehend, because we've had it real good here. And I don't know how much time we've got, either with this liberty or even to be here, but I know this. I know a lot of people that aren't saved, and so do you. And we need to get busy. We need to stand fast. You can get tired of kicking against the pricks and go with the flow if you want, but you're going to give an account for that. And wouldn't it be better just to stick this thing out and be told, well done, thou good and faithful servant? So again, the remnant, there, it's in there. There was always a group that didn't go with the flow, and the flow is strong. And we had evidence even today. I'm not even going to mention names, but there's a lot of people that are going to churches, and they're not even hearing a fraction of the truth you are. And they're in for a rude awakening. And the rude awakening is lifting up their eyes in hell. And what a sad thing. Amen? So we're not here to judge them. We're here to represent Jesus Christ, because they need the same truth you got a hold of somewhere along the way. And if we're ever going to stand fast, we need each other. And so those are the ingredients. I pray that it'll be a help and a blessing to you tonight. Preacher, come on.